Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by the 2022 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. The AmFam Championship is back with full galleries and a full schedule of events leading up to the tournament June 10th through the 12th at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. Lady A will highlight the off-course activities for the 6th AmFam Championship with a concert Friday night, June the 10th, at Bree Stevens Field in Madison, featuring opening acts Boyz II Men and Edwin McCain. Tickets for the events, both the concert and the tournament, are on sale now at amfamchampionship.com. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised $12.6 million for charity, with proceeds distributed by the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. Alongside Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. We welcome you to Talking.Golf. It is a big day, Gary D'Amato, because they are playing golf in the Northwoods. St. Germain Golf Club and Timber Ridge Country Club in Minocqua, both opening today. Hidden Greens North and Solon Springs in far northwest Wisconsin opening. We had a story that finally the snow was cleared in the Northwoods, and they can start playing golf. And Eagle River will open on Monday. A lot of other courses. Northwoods opened earlier in Rhinelander this week. And but I'm told that you are now the bearer of good weather news for everybody in Wisconsin for the coming week.
Indeed I am, Rob. You know, if whatever golf courses are not open in the northern part of the state, I think soon will be, within a matter of days, because we're supposed to get finally a week of pretty good weather, you know, ramping up from the 60s into the 70s and close to 80 by midweek, all throughout the state. So it's going to be shorts weather, Rob. After being we're in a park just a few days ago, we're going to be in shorts next week. So that's good news.
I am so glad to hear that, because I'm not sure how many more podcasts we could have done and talking about how crappy the weather was. I mean, we're getting too close to June. It's the first weekend in May, Mother's Day weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms that might be listening, especially the high school golf moms who have had to walk along with all of this misery and watching their kids through. We're down to the final week of the regular season. I believe a lot of conference championships start a week from Monday, and then we're in WI regionals and sectionals later on in the month. But I mean, it the season goes by too fast. But there's been a lot of angst and anxiety and layers for all these moms and dads and brothers and sisters and friends and neighbors who have walked along the golf that has been played in Wisconsin so far.
Yeah, you know, I just hope that this good weather dries out the golf courses, because they've been really soggy, Rob, everywhere. You know, they've been muddy. And so not only are the parents walking in bad weather, but they're ruining their pants and shoes while they're doing it. So hopefully this good weather that's coming now is going to dry out the courses, and the last regular season week for high school golf, and then going into, you know, up until the state tournament, hopefully it's going to be a good run from here on out.
You know, we had such a great, promising start to the course opening season here in 2022. But when I talked to Margo Rogers Anderson, she's the head pro and general manager up at St. Germain this week, Gary, she said that with the opening of the course today, they are opening 35 days later than they did last year. And that just, you know, again, when you're waiting for something like the golf season, that's an eternity, isn't it?
It is. You know, I think we got spoiled last year, Rob, because it was a really good spring, early spring, and courses opened, a lot of them ahead of schedule. But, you know, these years pop up every now and then where we have this, you know, crappy weather that extends into May. And so, you know, I think everyone expects that golfers know that, you know, sooner or later it's going to warm up, and just have to kind of grin and bear it until it does.
Well, we'll talk about one of the events that hopefully will benefit from Gary's forecast this week a little later in the podcast, that being U.S. Open local qualifying up at Wild Rock in Wisconsin Dells. That kind of kicks off the tournament schedule. But, you know, we'd be naive if we didn't talk a lot about the fact that college golfers have been playing in some of this stuff and not in some of this stuff since the late part of February. And it all culminates in the NCAA tournament here coming up. And, Gary,
You had a story this week, six golfers with Wisconsin ties earned berths in the NCAA Division I regionals. A number of them that we talked about last week on the show, but maybe the big surprise and a pleasant surprise at that was not one, but two Wisconsin Badgers earned individual berths, and that being Cameron Huss out of Kenosha and Griffin Barella out of Colorado. We were talking leading up to it. A lot of the individual stuff is dependent upon how many of the automatic individual qualifiers as conference champions there are around the country that aren't on teams that are going to the NCAAs. I was just really pleased that, you know, there were enough spots available for two Badgers, because those guys were in the top 100 throughout most of the fall and into the spring, and just fell out, I think, here lately, but certainly not because they didn't play well. There's just a lot of golf being played, a lot of numbers catching up on Golfstat. I think those two guys were very deserving of going out of the regionals.
Definitely, Rob. You know, Cameron Huss slipped about 100 spots, I think, in the Golfstat rankings over the last couple months, and was on the bubble. And Coach Mike Wilson, first year coach at Wisconsin, wasn't sure he was going to get in. So, you know, he was overjoyed, as I'm sure Cam was, that he gets to go to regionals to join his teammate Griffin Barella, and the other individual qualifiers from Marquette, of course, Hunter Eichhorn, who's had a stellar, you know, career at Marquette.
As you talked to Mike Wilson, I mean, what was your sense about, you know, not only getting the assignment, but I believe, if I remember correctly, they would be among the group going to, the Ohio State Golf Club?
It is. Yeah, they go to Columbus. Griffin, Cameron hasn't played quite as well lately as he did for that long stretch, especially in the fall when he was, you know, he was dynamite in the fall part of the season. And Griffin has been really, really good. You know, a top 10 finish in the Big Ten Championships about a week ago. But both those guys now have a chance to do something really special. And that is, you know, play well enough to hopefully advance to the NCAA championships. They're going to have to play great, as you do at regionals, to move on either as a team or an individual, but they're there now and they've got a shot. And that's all you can ask for.
We should mention that the NCAA Division I men's regionals will be held May 16th through the 18th at six different sites around the country. They are 54 hole tournaments. There are certain sites, three sites where there are 13 teams and 10 individuals. And then three other regionals where there's 14 teams and five individuals. In all cases, Gary, the top five teams and the low individual not on those teams will advance to the NCAA finals May 27th through June 1st at Greyhawk Golf Club in Scottsdale. So again, you know, you're, like you say, you gotta play to win. And we've got guys who are playing. We've got three other guys who are be playing on teams that are going to the NCAA regionals. Clayton Tribu, who's a senior at Davidson University out in North Carolina, and also will be a grad transfer to the University of Wisconsin after this year. He and his team will be down at PGA National in Palm Beach Gardens May 16th through the 18th. That's also where Harrison Ott of Brookfield, the two-time defending Wisconsin State Open champion, and the Vanderbilt Commodores will be. And then, of course, Wisconsin State amateur champion Pearson Hunt out of Heartland, and the Illinois Fighting Illini go to the Yale Golf Course in New Haven, Connecticut, May 16th through the 18th. We've talked about it both on podcasts and just in conversation, Gary. This is a great opportunity for Vanderbilt and Harrison Ott to close out his time as a college golfer. But, they're ranked in the top five in the country, and I would expect them to have the best chance of any of the Wisconsin teams or individuals with Wisconsin kids to be able to go to Greyhawk.
I agree, Rob. You know, Vanderbilt's loaded and very good team. They have a solid chance to advance to the NCAA. They should advance to the NCAA championships, and then they have a solid chance to win the whole thing. And we'll have to wait and see if Harrison Ott is in the lineup. He was in the SEC championships, helped Vanderbilt, you know, win the conference title. I think he went 1-2 in match play, if I'm not correct. And, I watched the NCAA selection show, Rob, and Coach Scott Limbaugh, you know, went through his lineup and talked about heap glowing praise on all the players, as well he should have, because they've had a great year. But of Harrison, he said, Harrison knows his role with our team. and we know what we're going to get out of him every single day. So that didn't sound to me like a solid endorsement that Harrison will be in the lineup. I sure hope he is, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and, you know, breaking it down and looking at Vanderbilt, you know, they won by three shots over Texas A&M at the SEC Championships in St. Simon's Island, Georgia. Harrison was the fifth golfer on or played the number four spot. He was the fifth best after stroke play, 71, 69, 72. So that tells you a little bit about what Vanderbilt's made of. And, did play every round of the match play. A year ago, Gary, he was not in the stroke play lineup for the SEC Championship, but then was put in lineup for match play and helped Vanderbilt secure NCAA regional berth at a time when they weren't really guaranteed to do that based on their overall ranking. And so getting the automatic from the SEC was huge, but then he was out of the lineup for the regional. I think he took that in stride. He learned from it. He obviously came back, managed to win another Wisconsin State Open Championship. But Harrison's a guy, you know, Gary, that can run kind of hot and cold sometimes. He can get on those great birdie runs. And then there's, watching with the Patriot All-American, a lot of times when he, is just a par machine. And sometimes par machines don't pass the eye test in college golf.
Yeah, you're right, Rob. He is a par machine, and he is he rarely makes mistakes. He doesn't have big numbers on his cards. He's always around par. He's played great in clutch moments, you know, two-time defending state open champion. He's gone pretty deep into the U.S. amateur. He definitely has the stuff to make a statement here at NCAA regionals if he's in the lineup. But you're right. He has on occasion parred courses to death, and you need guys who make tons of birdies, obviously. Not saying he can't do it. He certainly has in the past. And I hope he's in the lineup.
I do too. I mean, he helped them. He helped Vanderbilt stave off an upset in the first round of the SEC match play portion of the championship, winning one up over Harrison Davis of Mississippi State to give Vanderbilt the 3-2 win and advance them onto the semifinals. But then he lost a pair of 2-1 decisions to LSU and to Florida. And but Florida, he played Fred Biondi, who's a really strong golfer on a really strong program. Florida, looked for a while at the SEC championships, Gary, like they were going to upset the apple cart, much in the way that, Wisconsin was knocking on the door at the Big Ten championships there for 36 holes. It would be great. But, every picture I've seen when Harrison, whether he's been in the lineup or out of the lineup, when they're showing the celebrations, he's right there. And I mean, I guess, what are your thoughts, Gary, about the whole dynamic of college golf where, sometimes coaches have to make coaching decisions. And, it's a sport where, every other point in the year, it's you and your own ball in the, state open, state amateur, U.S. Open, U.S. amateur. And here, it's up to the coach to decide what's best for the team. And sometimes not everybody sees eye to eye in that conversation, do they?
No, there's two schools of thought. There are coaches who ride the hot hand, who do qualifying for every tournament, and the guys that are playing well get in those tournaments. And there are coaches who, are loyal to guys who have been in the program a long time, have produced, have good stroke averages, have shown they can do it. So there's two schools of thinking. And I don't know what side you're on, Rob, but it's tough. It's a tough choice because you definitely want to go into these tournaments riding the hot hand and taking your golfers who are hot at the moment. But on the other hand, you have a guy like Harrison Ott who's contributed so much to the Vanderbilt program. And I'm sure, Scott Limbaugh, when it's time to make a decision, is going to be torn because you want a guy like Harrison in your lineup.
Well, in a similar version of that went on in Division II with one of our state golfers, Brock Klinik of Kokana, who had a very decorated high school career, contended in a couple of state amateurs as a high school senior, and then early in his college career, I think he's in his junior year out at Queen's University of Charlotte. They earned an NCAA Division II team berth, and he's in the lineup. And after not being in the lineup for their conference championship, and right now he's T95. Queens is at the bottom of the 20-team field, very good field, though, of teams, almost every team ranked from, 1 to 50 in that 20-team field. And Queens came in ranked 24th. So, he's in, not playing the best, but, also not playing the worst on his team. Drake Wilcox, by the way, of Sheboygan currently, as they play, sit out a lightning delay in the second round, currently even par for the day, T68 at +3. plus three as you play into the second round, Gary, in your T60s. Again, it's a different curve that we grade on in college golf than maybe other times of the year, where 74 and 75 can get you somewhere, especially at a state amateur. You really have to go low. I always have fun looking at golf stat to see which teams have all the red numbers. And of course the red numbers are birdies. And there's a lot of kids that can get on a major role in college golf.
Yeah. It's really, when you get to national championships at any level, it's the cream of the crop. It's the best teams and the best players. And so, where you can get away with, decent finishes by shooting 73s and fours in regular season tournament events. You can't do that when you get to the national level and you're playing against the best of the best. So we've got a bunch of other guys in Division II, don't we? Chris Kola and Logan Paczynski, I know.
Yep, yeah. And Chris is currently he's had a real up and down second round. Five birdies on the card, but also six bogeys and a double. And he's currently three over for the day, T54 at the regional out in Pueblo, Colorado. And Logan Paczynski and his team at Davenport, they tried to get two rounds in yesterday, had a bad weather in Noblesville, Indiana. They finished that round today, and Logan improved a couple shots over, or I'm sorry, he slipped two shots over his opening round, 82, finished an 84 today. But again, conditions look to be somewhat tough there. Hunter Robinson out of Balsam Lake, a pair of 79s for Concordia St. Paul, and he's currently T86. But, to your point, a lot of it depends on conditions, where you go. On the NCAA selection show, of course, it was on Golf Channel, which is now based out of Connecticut, and they were talking about the Yale regional where Pearson Hunt is going. And, much like Wisconsin, it hasn't been Chamber of Commerce weather in Connecticut. And if that holds true through the NCAA regional, all bets are off as to who can get those five team berths and one individual berth in the NCAA finals. I don't know. Do you feel like if you're a team like Illinois, that I think what they come into their ranked or seeded, I should say, fourth behind North Carolina, Texas Tech, and ACC champion Wake Forest. So they're kind of on that number five bubble. Does that help or hurt a team like Illinois, knowing that you might be walking into a potential location where weather would be an issue? I like the assignment for Pearson, because my feeling is that a lot of those courses in the Northeast aren't much different than they are in the upper Midwest.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Rob. Pearson's played in weather, and certainly all those guys on that Illinois team have. They're not that much farther south than we are down there in Champaign, and they get a good share of, bad weather to play in. But, all these teams, Rob, go to tournaments where the weather is pretty good. Those guys having practiced in some bad weather, I think, could help if they get to a regional where the weather isn't great. And Yale's a great golf course. I think Pearson and those guys at Illinois are really going to enjoy it. I haven't played it, but the Van Sickles, our good friends Gary and Mike, I know were members there for a long time, or at least played a lot of golf there. So, it's going to be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, and much like Harrison Ott at Vanderbilt, I think Pearson Hunt has benefited from the great internal competition at Illinois. A situation where you always got to be on your toes. It'll be fun to cover those two guys this summer in their title defenses, we would hope, at the State AM and the State Open, to find out how that kind of culture has impacted them to this point. And now that, like, for example, Harrison's leaving that culture, now it's kind of, his performance is all based on what he does, and there's no team involved. It'll be interesting to hear, how that has shaped, where they're at this point in their golf careers. I think it's made them better. I think we saw it last summer.
Yeah, no doubt. And Hunter Eichhorn told me he's not going to turn pro until probably the fall. So we're going to see a lot of him this summer, Rob. He'll probably play more of a national amateur schedule, but hopefully he's at the State AM and is able to play in that. And as some of these other guys, hopefully we'll see Pearson Hunt back there to defend his title too.
Yeah, it's a good point. Hunter didn't participate in any of the Canadian Tour qualifying that some of the other guys did. And I know, Harrison has status north of the border. And we'll probably use that at some point. But there's a lot of different ways to attack it. And really, I think the best way is what feels most comfortable, what you can do both fundamentally and financially. But at the same time, I think if I'm Hunter Eichhorn, I want to make sure that, I have the entire game in order. And so far, what we've seen of Hunter Eichhorn this spring, you know, he's exploded at times. He's struggled at times, but you know, I like his game better now, Gary, than I did coming out of COVID.
Yeah, so do I. I think he's gone back to, you know, playing a little more carefree the way he played when he first got to Marquette. He's not the guy who's gotten caught up in swing mechanics. He doesn't really go on track, man. He doesn't look at his swing a whole lot on video. He's a natural feel kind of player. And he's one of those guys, Rob, who absolutely has the ability to take it really deep. I mean, he was shooting 63s and 4s in junior tournaments when he was 16 years old. And we saw him shoot the 61, setting the Marquette record at the Patriots. So he's definitely capable of taking it really deep, and no better time than to do it than what's coming up in front of him here.
Well, I, you know, it's something that we're going to follow again, May 16th through the 18th. So a little bit of time here between the conference championships and the NCAA regionals, which again, allows the weather to get better. All the teams to work out their qualifying, who's going to be in the lineup, who's not, for the individual qualifiers like Hunter Eichhorn and Griffin Borella, Cameron Huss, really chance to fine tune things because, you know, as we said, they've had their ups and downs. In addition to the Division II men that we mentioned here on the podcast that are in competition, we also have had Maggie Vienendahl of New Richmond finishing T41 at the University of Sioux Falls. And then we've got three golfers with Wisconsin ties competing in the Division III Men's Championship. Daniel Nittard of Fort Atkinson, I believe he played at Luther Prep in Watertown, but he's at Bethany Lutheran College, and they qualified. Illinois Wesleyan qualified with Ethan Wilkins of Sussex, and Cole Jonke of Stillwater, Minnesota, UW-Eau Claire, earned an individual berth. They'll be at Mission Inn Resort in Howie in the Hills, Florida, May 10th through the 13th. Division III women, Carthage College out of Kenosha, UW-Whitewater onto the national championships at Bay Oak Country Club in Houston, May 10th through the 13th. So a little over at the end of next week there, I guess. They'll get down to Houston and prepare for that. And then the University of Dubuque with Madison Bowers of Mineral Point, Sarah Nerad of Janesville also going to Bay Oaks. St. Catharines of Minnesota qualifying as a team. Sydney Brand of Brookfield has been in the lineup most of the year. And last but not least, Jolie Guyette of DePere down here at Mesa Community College. They're headed to Mayfair Country Club in Sanford, Florida, May 9th through the 12th for their competition. Also in college golf news today, Abby Filipiak of UW-Stout named the WEAC Conference Player of the Year for Division III Women's Golf. And she was the WEAC champion last fall. Kaylee Lux of the aforementioned UW-Whitewater Warhawks, she'll be down in Houston next week. She was named the newcomer of the year. You can see all of the all-conference team members on our site at wisconsin.golf. And then, Gary, last but not least, as we talk about college golf, another college commitment for the class of 2023, Nora Roberts out of Union Grove, technically lives in Racine, goes to Union Grove High School. She is joining the contingent of Wisconsin golfers at North Dakota State. She chose North Dakota State over a handful of schools, including UW-Green Bay, Butler, Loyola, Drake, and Missouri State. But again, one of those rising stars who's going to get her commitment out of the way early as a junior. She's the third one in her class to do that. We also have Cassie Pasuik of Greenfield going to Loyola, Illinois, and then Riley Pachinski, Logan's sister, going to UW-Green Bay. But we've seen Nora at some of the women's events last year, and she really acquitted herself well there for someone so young. Some of them like to commit younger and younger, Gary, but their career is only beginning to take off.
Yeah, I was just starting to read your story, Rob, which went online on Wisconsin.gov about an hour ago or so, right? And we started our podcast, so I haven't finished it, so I got to go back and finish your story, Rob, but I would encourage all our listeners to go to Wisconsin.golf and follow not only this story on Nora Roberts, but all the stuff that Rob has done with college and high school golf. You go to our scoreboard section, Rob, and there's a million high school scores on there. So congrats to you for rounding those up. I'm sure that's a little bit of a pain in the butt, but it's well worthwhile having them on our site.
Every day is a new adventure, but and especially the ones that get emailed to us with the weather notations. You know, you have to take your hats off to the guys and gals that are playing in the boys golf season this spring, because like we've talked about earlier, it's not a it's not been fun weather-wise out there. You're listening to Talking.Golf, sponsored by the 2022 American Family Insurance Championship. The AmFam Championship will be back with full galleries and a full schedule June 10th through the 12th at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. Of course, there'll be the Celebrity Foursome on Saturday and the concert, the tournament concert featuring Lady A on Friday night, June the 10th at Bree Stevens Field. Tickets for both the concert and the tournament now on sale at amfamchampionship.com. Well, Gary D'Amato, it is time now to talk about one of our favorite events because it kicks off the WSGA tournament schedule on the calendar, and it really initiates an avalanche of tournament golf in general. It's U.S. Open local qualifying on Wednesday coming up at Wild Rock Golf Course in Wisconsin Dells. You've crunched, looked at the pairings, you've looked at the field. It's actually a pretty good field and a lot of intrigue at Wisconsin Dells. What do you like best about what you see coming up Wednesday?
Well, what I like best, Rob, is it's supposed to be 80 degrees. So that's what I like best. Because the last time Jim Kelch and I went up there and covered U.S. Open qualifying, it was, 40 degrees and raining sideways. So this is going to be a much more enjoyable day. And it's going to be an enjoyable day for the couple guys, or I'm not sure how many go on. I haven't looked. Do you know how many go on to final qualifying, as they call it now? We used to call it sectional qualifying, but I'm not sure how many spots they're playing for. But there's 81 guys in the field, and some of the best talent in Wisconsin, Rob. Some guys from out of state, not too many. But the marquee pairing, the one I can't wait to watch, is Hunter Eichhorn, Tony Romo, and Jordan Niebrugge, who we haven't seen much of lately, but, had that unbelievable run 6 or 7 years ago when he was winning everything in sight. So that's one threesome I definitely want to keep my eye on, Rob.
Absolutely. And to answer your question, Gary, it's 82 for five spots into the final qualifying. I like sectional qualifying better. It had a ring to it, but final qualifying, yeah. we'll go with it. But, of course, the local qualifying, 18 holes, the sectional slash final qualifying, a 36-hole one-day endeavor. We see a lot of the guys from the two local D1 schools, or at least two of the three, Wisconsin and Marquette, with well represented. But then I also see Max Schmidtke, who was named newcomer of the year last week at the University of South Dakota. He had a great first year out there, and a number of other kids that. Out of the high school ranks, Aiden Cudney was playing in a Hurricane Tour event down in the south, the east part of the U.S. this weekend, in the middle of his high school season at Kimberly. He's there. And then also defending Division III state champion out of Lancaster, Noah Kirsch is there. He won his state title over at Trappers Turn, so a little different venue for him. But, a lot of these guys, playing this to test themselves. It's kind of like, when you're growing up and you have that wall in your house where you keep, notching off, how tall you are. I think this is, tells you how tall you are as a golfer and how you fare from year to year. And I know this is the second U.S. Open local for Aiden Cudney, and I believe the first for Noah Kirch. But, again, just to name a few, it's really an eclectic group of golfers, mini tour pros, everybody who's anybody seems to be in this field.
Yeah, you're right, Rob. It runs the gamut from the top juniors in the state all the way up to Jim Dewing, who is, I think, 60 or 61 years old and has been a force in senior golf in the state. And in between, you've got, many tour players, top club pros. Michael Crowley and Mick Smith are playing together at 11:50 a.m. with Ricky Kuiper. Either of those guys or both of them could, very well qualify and go on to final qualifying. It's you're right. That word eclectic, that's a good word. Austin Gaugert, maybe better known these days as a caddy, but one heck of a player. So it's a really interesting field.
Yeah, we've seen, and you're going to have to be there right to the bitter end too, Gary, because in the last two groups, 12:30, you've got Griffin Barella, who's will be playing in this as kind of a tune-up for the NCAA regional. He's paired with Keegan Drugan out of Holman. And Blake Wisdom, who just wrapped up, I believe it was his junior season, out at Bucknell. He's out of Lake Geneva. And then the final group of the day, Joe Leonard, an accomplished club pro out of the Madison area. He's won the state PGA before, paired with Adam Miller, who's had a great run as an amateur golfer. former state champion high school golfer out of Lodi, who's caddying up at Sand Valley, has talked to us, Gary, about maybe turning pro at some point and doing what their other playing partner, Matt Tolan, is doing. Matt just missed at the last Canadian Tour West Coast qualifier, but is playing professionally on various mini tours. I think both he and Emmett Herb, living here in the Phoenix area, and they're going to play kind of the Dan Woltman Tour, as I like to call it, of state opens around the upper Midwest, and then of course the Dakotas Tour this summer. So you got a lot of guys who are going to be going a lot of different directions after Wild Rock on Wednesday.
You know, I love looking through this field, Rob, because and trying to guess who might advance, and it's really impossible. I think of the 82 guys in the field, there's probably 45 who, if they have a good day, can be in that five players to advance. So it's really hard to pick out of this group who's going to make it. I see another name, Austin Kanczorski, who shot a 70 in that horrible weather a couple of years back to advance out of local qualifying. So certainly he likes the golf course and, could be a factor again.
Another one to watch, Caden Nam, who recently committed to the University of South Carolina, Aiken. He is a senior this year up at Minocqua Lakeland High School. We didn't get the full results, but I saw he had a pretty good day. They had a border battle competition with some schools in Minnesota this week. I believe Ellsworth, Minocqua Lakeland, and Hudson, I believe, went over and played in Minnesota. And he shot an opening round 71 there. His score has been coming down. I think he shot a 69 in Great Northern Conference competition last week. So, again, he's a kid who's got, a really, really bright future. And we'll use this as kind of a test. He'll be playing with Austin Gaugert, in fact, and Austin Erickson, who out of Sparta, who I believe just wrapped up a solid season down at Iowa Central Community College, I believe is where Austin is. And and then one that I wanted to ask you about, because he had such a great, great senior season at Wisconsin, Robbie Morway, battled injury throughout his career, Gary, and really was a catalyst behind that incredible effort by the Badgers getting into the top five at Big Tens last week, and was a great closer for a while. Was looking like he was going to close again in the final round, and then ran into a little bit of a bump. But all in all, I don't think Coach Mike Wilson could ask for anything more than what he got out of Robbie Morway. That was a guy who really, really, I think, surprised people in the way he was able to come back from his many injuries.
Yeah, Robbie, is a fighter. Not only coming back from the injuries, but on the golf course, Robbie, he had some bad stretches in the Big Ten, but came back on the back nine to almost every day, played the back nine really well and helped the Badgers really get in a position they got into to sort of, be on the fringe of challenging for the Big Ten title. And Mike Wilson described him as just a fighter and a guy who never gives up on a shot, never gives up no matter what circumstances. So he had a good way to finish his career at Wisconsin.
Well, it's U.S. Open local qualifying. It's Wednesday. Both our Jim Kelch with his camera and Gary D'Amato with his notebook will be up there. Bright and early at 8 a.m., Gary, Tyler Leach and Andy Hansen. I think Andy Hansen still owns the WIA State tournament scoring record from his days at, Mequon Homestead, I believe. He's plays out of Germantown now, but a club pro, assistant pro in the area. In the Milwaukee area. That's an early start. What's your plan for covering the U.S. Open local?
Well, Jim Kelch is just happy that we get a cart, that Rob Jansen is going to let us use a cart. So we'll be able to buzz all over the golf course. As you know, Rob, Wild Rock is pretty spread out and it's a pretty hard course to walk. Some of the tees and greens are spread pretty far apart. So it'll be helpful having a cart. I'll definitely try to get up there by about 9 or 9:30 when the early groups are on their early holes, and then watch some of the groups tee off on one, and then kind of watch the scoring to see where I might need to run around and pick up guys. So it's going to be it's always a challenge to cover these things when you don't know who's going to be. It's not like there's a leader that you can follow. You don't know where the good scores are going to come from.
Well, and like I mentioned too, Gary, it's the start of tournament golf activity in Wisconsin. A couple other things to note for next week. The first Net Partners event of the season will be on May the 9th, and that's early next week. Is that Monday, I believe, over at the Legend of Bergamot?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, and then Bergamot will also play host to a senior tour event the following day. And then if I'm looking at this correctly, the first seven senior tour events no longer have the registration link live. So that means the fields are full. They go from the Legend at Bergamot to Shaniqua to Oconomowoc and then the club at Lac La Belle before the end of the month. The first available senior tour event, May 31st up at Mascouten Golf Club, which has played host to a state amateur in the past. Gary, there's no shortage of tournaments on that WSJ schedule for anybody and everybody.
That's right, Rob. We already had one tournament, actually, the Sheboygan Riverdale Tournament of Champions last week, won by our good friend for the sixth time, Thomas the Landing Cannon Hala. Shot a 66 400 to win an individual. And I talked to Tom on the phone the other day, Rob, and he was funny because he said, you know, that there's also a team component to that event where it's a one best ball out of your foursome.
Sure.
And they finished his team, which consisted of Tom, of Hala, John Haynes, Billy Linneman, our old good friend Billy, and Paul Zarek, finished at 9 under. And I said, well, you must have won at 9 under for one best ball. And he said, no, Ramiro Romo's team beat us by one. Chris Wood, it was a shotgun start. And Chris Wood finished, played a holdout for an eagle on a par four on their last hole to beat him by one. And Tom said they couldn't wait to get to the clubhouse and tell us about that either.
Oh, my goodness. What a way to start the 2022 golf season in Wisconsin, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, I'm going to have to get up to Tom said, you know, we should get a foursome together and maybe you'll have to come back for the next year and playing it. He said, it's just a blast. It's got a great history. 46-year-old tournament. Manuel De La Torre was instrumental in getting it off the ground and won it, I think, a bunch of times. So, Rob, come back for that next year. We'll get a foursome. We'll talk Mike Davis and some maybe John Hughes into going up there and having fun.
Wouldn't that be great? Man, you know, it's fun to hear those names. It's fun to hear that you know, tournaments are being won and lost with shots like that. Speaking of the Landing Cannon, he's in the field. A week from yesterday. We're recording this on a Friday, May the 19th, a Thursday at Hidden Glen, U.S. Senior Open qualifying. So he'll be in the field there along with Tim Cantwell, former state amateur champion, now working as a teaching pro down in Florida, and a host of others. I don't see Skip Kendall coming back for this one, but I'm sure he'll be trying to qualify somewhere around the country. Ramiro Romo, Tony's dad, and the aforementioned senior division winner of the Sheboygan Tournament of Champions there this week over at Riverdale. He'll be in the field. So we go Eddie Chiarassa, Mark Voller. I mean, we go from one great open qualifier to another here, which tells you that a lot of the big majors are getting played earlier and earlier in the calendar year. And that's the case this year with the U.S. Senior Open. And, of course, it'll come up pretty quick after the AmFam next year when it goes to Central World and Stevens Point.
And Rob, you know, word has gotten out about what a great job the WSJ does in running these tournaments for the USGA. And because I look at this field that you're talking about with the senior amateur qualifying, and there's a ton of guys from out of state, a bunch of guys from Florida. I see West Virginia. I see Ohio. I see Ricardo Gonzalez from Argentina is coming all the way to Hidden Glen at Bentdale Farms to try to qualify for the US senior amateur. So pretty cool.
Well, and here's a name, Gary, that I've been, you know, you've got your Legend series. I've been thinking about trying to, you know, get started a Where Are They Now series because I've wondered where he's been. I watched him dominate a state amateur, I believe it was at Oneida Golf and Riding back in the late 80s, early 90s. Ron Wenche, former Badger golfer under Dennis Tiziani, now playing out of Reno, Nevada, is coming back. He must just be 50. And so eligible to play in this kind of stuff. And I have not seen that name. We've seen, you know, Ben Walters come back, you know, from that era and, you know, some of those guys. But Ron Wenche coming back to play at Hidden Glen next week. And, you know, that's a guy who I can remember covering him for the first time at the what is now the Lake Arrowhead Invitational. And he won that, got Tiz's attention. He was going to UW Oshkosh just to go to school. Tiz told him, just finish out the year there and then come to Wisconsin so you don't lose any eligibility. And came there, played 4 years for the Badgers and had an exceptional career for Bucky. And so neat to see. It tells you, Gary, we're not getting any younger, does it?
No, that's for sure. Yeah, I haven't seen Ron's name in a long time. I remember him, Rob, as a guy, another guy who could take it really deep. I remember he had some really exceptional scores like in mini tour events. And I think he played all over the world, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't he go over maybe to Asian play? I don't really.
Right. And I think he might have played South America too. And so we'll have to try to catch up with Ron here at some point and figure out what's going on there. But neat to see those names. Again, to your point, Gary, they run the tournaments well. And, you know, to the USGA's point, you know, everybody gets a chance if they have meet the handicap criteria to be able to, play in these national amateurs and opens. And I think it's a great thing that they've got going. So we'll continue to monitor that. Well, Gary, I think we've come to the end of our allotted time, as they say, an eventful week, and looking forward to talking next week about what happens at what's happened at Wisconsin Dells for U.S. Open local qualifying. Again, at least we won't be talking about harrowing weather that forces you and Jim Kelch off the course. So we hope that you get that shorts weather and that it turns into a good day.
Yeah, I'm crossing my fingers, Rob. I don't want to jinx us here and have the weather turn. So, yeah, cross my fingers, shorts and sunscreen. I'm ready to go.
All right. Well, for Gary D'Amato, this is Rob Hernandez, Talking.Golf, sponsored by the 2022 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. The AmFam Championship is back with full galleries and a full schedule of events leading up to the tournament June 12th, 10th through the 12th at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. Lady A will highlight the off-course activities for the 6th AmFam Championship with the Friday night concert, June the 10th at Bree Stevens Field, with opening acts Boyz II Men and Edwin McCain. Tickets for both the golf tournament and the concert on sale now at amfamchampionship.com. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised $12.6 million for charity, with proceeds distributed by the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.